Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
I'm so tired. All I see is black tar and white lines. I just got back off the road, and every time I close my eyes, I see interstate signs.
So. I can just imagine. Well, we are so glad you made it there safely and back, and it, from everything that I saw, it looks like you had a fabulous time meeting all our new horses.
Yes, I had a wonderful time. We got new readers, really, really good. New people hooked on Trap, new people hooked on Tainted, which is always good. And the Southern Hospitality was fabulous. So I had a wonderful time. And I'm back, and I will be in Philly this weekend. As a matter of fact, Friday, I'll be at Books A Million in the Gallery Mall. And then on Saturday, I will be at Black & Nobel with Jason Poole and some other wonderful, wonderful authors. So definitely, if you're in the Philly area, come check us out. It's going to be great. So we're going to have a very, very, very tainted weekend. So definitely come check us out. And other than that, I'm just sitting in the cut. I'm sitting in my swivel chair. I'm going to let you guys do what you do. We got Chocolate City on the line today. Can't wait. These three guests are powerhouses in the game. Definitely can't wait to listen to their struggle and their hustle and how they're able to move them books through that DMV. So this is going to be a great show. But y'all go ahead and do what you do, pay them bills, and I'm going to sit back in my chair and monitor the studio while y'all do what y'all do.
That sounds like a plan. Well, hello, Risha, and hey, Debo, how you guys doing?
Good, doing really good.
Well, I'm going to get ready to open up this show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Wednesday night edition of Writing Royalty Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tony, and I'm one of three great co-hosts this evening, plus the boss lady, Nene Capri. I am an avid reader. For those that don't know me, I love everything literature. Anything reading is right on my alley. But I want to let this person to my right formally introduce herself. Risha, girl, what's going on? One more time.
Hey, everybody. For those that don't know me, I am Risha. I'm the head of Writing Royalty Promotions, as well as the head promoter for Nene Capri and Boss Lady Publishing. I run four admin groups four Facebook groups. I'm an admin for. This is going to be a super great show. We have the awesome, she is like the sweetest person, the DC Book Diva. Along with Dion and the talented Jason Poole, they're going to be kicking it in the clubhouse with us tonight. So I'm sure we're going to have an awesome time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the number one stunner, Mr. Aaron Bebo. Did you cook today, B?
Nope, not today.
You're slipping, Aaron. You're slipping.
Right. This is like 3 weeks in a row.
I'm about to tell my sister to just give you back your ring because this is getting out of control. I mean, that's one of the perks and benefits of being with you is the whole meal thing, and you're slipping.
So what, you get a ring now, and now you don't get no meal every day? I don't see how that works out. I need you to get back in that kitchen. You're slipping.
If that's the reason, then, you know.
If you cook him before, you gotta cook after.
Hey, I'm gonna be on my Vicky Stringer shit, man. Let that be the reason, then.
Oh,
okay.
You know?
Well, Bebo, you gotta keep them the way you get them. Now, if you started cooking, buddy, you gotta keep up the Vicky.
Nah,
that's the whole thing. School him, Tony. Cause you know
that's
Tony got 20 years in. Don't let him take.
You can't say nothing with Tony tell you. I ain't never picked up no woman in no kitchen. So,
How do you think you got it?
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Everything else started in the kitchen.
Right? It started in the kitchen. I wasn't even standing there no silverware.
Oh, Lord.
Well, yeah. I've got to just leave that alone, and I've got to pay some bills. Well, I'd like to remind everybody to please pick up Boss Lady Nene Capri's hot releases. She has so many out there, so you get your pens and paper ready to take down these notes. She has the fabulous Peach Hot series, one of my all-time favorites, Classic 1, 2, and 3, and Peach Hot Peach Trap 4 is on its way, and we'll let you know when you can expect that. She also has the Trust No B series, 1, 2, and 3, which number 3 just recently released. She shares those hot titles with the one and only Cash Street Lit author, and you'll be hearing a little bit more about him a little bit later. But please pick those up as well. Nene has an awesome release that we were speaking of earlier under G Street Chronicles titled, Man, You Gotta Be Tainted, because if you ain't, you're missing out on a really, really good read. So please, put that in your library. Part 2 to that is also in the works, so be looking out for that. And just to let you know what my non-cooking co-host Aaron Bebo has in works, he has Cupid's Assassin, Bunches of Love, and that's Cupid's Assassin Part 2, if you don't know. He also has a recently released, I Used to Love Her. I actually just finished reading that yesterday, Bebo. My hat's off to you. I really enjoyed that. That's also under G Street Chronicles, so make sure you definitely pick that up. And one more thing, we have Countdown in the works for Friday, April 18th. Two books, two authors, one title between Aaron Bebo and Cash Street Lit author, Till My Casket Drops. Bebo, you got your casket outfit ready? Because you know you're about to...
We got some good flowers. Tony picked some good ones out, girl. I love that arrangement you got.
You know, hey, listen, I'm happy for everybody. Like, I just want everybody to be, you know, just be honest, yo. That's all I want. I just want you to come to the grave site with your honest face on.
Oh, no, the grave site with the honest face. Well, anyway, see, well, this is history in the making.
Yes, it is.
A phenomenal drop. I am so excited for these two great authors. You know,
yes,
and the best thing, the readers are getting the best out of it because we're getting two great stories with one great title. So I am really looking forward to that. So please be ready to one-click that and make sure Amazon has enough copies.
Absolutely.
And if you want to keep on everything hot, new, and upcoming, please visit our blog. And this is my winded part of my show. We're looking at the Boss Ladies Chronicles at bossladies14.wordpress.com, Writing Royalty blog at writingroyalty2014.wordpress.com, and last but not least, you can follow us at writingroyalty.blogspot.com. Those are just some of the ways that you can keep on top of what's happening here at Writing Royalty. Disha girl, you have anything else to add to that?
Absolutely, absolutely. As Nene mentioned when she first came on, we do have a trapper alert. Nene will be trapping Philly this weekend, she got y'all in the trap hole. Friday, she will be at Books A Million, which is, again, at the Gallery Mall in Philly, and that's 901 East Market Street. And that's from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, April the 19th, she will be at Black and Nobel's. And that is from, she should be there from 3 to 7 p.m., but there will be three other authors there, Jason Poole, and Damon, I keep forgetting how to pronounce his last name. I don't want to chop it up. And Sean Hartwell, they're all going to be there as well, but they will be there at 1, from 1 to 7. So it's going to be going down at Black and Nobel this Saturday. So if you're in the area, make sure you guys stop by, holler at your girl.
Yes.
And also, yeah, this is going to be a good weekend if you're in Philly. Definitely. We also want to shout out G Street Chronicles and congratulate the storyteller, Charles Burgess. He is now with the G Street family. Congrats, Charles Burgess, storyteller. And shout out to Shauna and G. They always making boss moves every day. You never know what they got cooking under their hat. So super excited for that. Also, make sure you're sending your emails to writingroyalty@gmail.com for the summer giveaway. We're giving away some hot stuff this summer, not just books. We'll be giving away gift cards, gift baskets. We want to make sure you get your name entered in. And just make sure in the memo section or the comment section of your email you do summer giveaway so that we know that you're putting your name in the hat for that. Bebo, do you have anything to add?
Not at all. I think you got it all covered.
Mm-hmm. And I'm to get everything jumping this evening. The three guests that we have on this show tonight definitely have displayed to me what the whole book hustle is about, the grind, you know, staying relevant, staying out there. One of the hardest grinds they have is that being right there street level with the readers. You know, every time I'm able to come down there, you know, you can get out there on the block with DC Book Diva and Eon. You know, they make you feel very at home. Love them to death. You're able to get out there and be right on the street, you know, where street literature really got its first move, you know, hand-to-hand sales, you know, meeting the readers, being right there to supply the demand of this street literature. And they've been holding that down for a while, doing that and making sure that they flood the DMV with, you know, that hot literature, you know, the new titles. And, you know, just making sure that the readers are knowing where they can get things from in that area. So that's really, really, really powerful. And I think that a lot of authors miss out on, you know, definitely getting out there and setting up in the community and you know, being with the readers, meeting the readers, you know, making new readers. You know, it's very, very, very good to have a strong fan base and people who follow your work and stay behind you, but to be out there to cold sell and, you know, talk to people and, you know, meet them, that's a phenomenal experience. So I suggest strongly that, you know, if you're an author, you're in your city and you have the ability to set up and get out there and meet those readers, you definitely want to do that. So I'm extremely excited to get them on here and just talk about how they've been able to empower that area with books and, you know, their hustle, their whole hustle, because, you know, the struggle is real in this game, and to be able to stay relevant, keep hot work moving, and get stuff in the reader's hands, and not just their personal books, because they have, you know, their own personal books that they have written, but they also make sure that they reach out and get other authors' works and make sure that those are on the table and people can, you know, see what other authors are doing as well, which is really, really, really great. And I think I have said everything I have to say, because y'all know I could fall asleep at any second, so I got to get it in when I can. I be sitting here, I be like, boss lady, you still there? Yeah, but I know we have a bio and, you know, some music we definitely want to bring, Talk of the City, in the clubhouse, you know, on a very, very high note. Y'all go ahead and do what you do. Your turn, Asia.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, B.
Oh, well, I mean.
Drop that.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Blogtalkradio.com/urban literary review. which is an online talk show that is dedicated to everything about the urban literary world and all the people and events in it. The show has constantly spotlighted what is new, innovative, and important in the literary world. DC Book Diva is the driving force behind one of the most informative blogs online, Straight No Chaser, where she continues to share important literary information with all those seeking direction in an industry that can be a maze for one that has no guidance. DC Book Diva's mobile bookstore is the top of the food chain in Washington, D.C. It has been servicing the area for close to 10 years. That's awesome. As a result of hard work and dedication, her mobile bookstore was voted the 2013 Independent Bookstore of the Year. Ebo, you want to bring in the great D.C. Diva herself?
Yes, certainly. And you know what? I meant to get that drum roll lined up. Good evening. Good evening.
Okay. There you go.
Good evening, Diva. You are live.
Hey, DC Book Diva.
Hey, Sia. How are you? 360 Bebo?
Huh? Sia
360. No, 360. You see it?
Okay. Absolutely not.
Right up under Nene?
You want to bring her in?
Yes, if you see it, please. By all means.
Can we get her? No, I don't see her.
Hello.
That's hey. What I'm trying to tell you, but I didn't
hear
you.
Can you
hear me?
Yeah. Okay, I was saying I'm here. So I just hung up and called back. Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, we appreciate
thank you for
so
coming
much.
On.
Thank you. Yes. Well, hello.
Great. How are you?
What's going
I'm good.
On?
Look, trying to stay happy.
Yeah.
I love that song.
She got Diddy Mirage over there.
That's
taking
right.
Diddy Mirage. That was crazy. That's my commercial. So what's good, Miss Diva? How you? Let us know what's
hey.
Going on.
I just staying busy as always. We have the blog that is up and popping right now. We just got our interview done with Nene Capri. I just got that on my desk yesterday, so I'm looking forward to sharing that. And we just had a release yesterday, Nathan Welch, Drunk in Love. He's one of the authors that's been with us since about 2010. So this is his fourth title with us that just released yesterday and just working, you know.
Yeah, I'm seeing that title all over, too. It looks like y'all getting a lot of good support behind that joint. I'm definitely seeing it all over.
I hope so. He's an excellent author. Like I said, he's been with us since about 2010. He is incarcerated, but he is one hell of a writer, and I'm hoping that Drunk in Love is the title that people will really recognize his talent and abilities with the pen.
Okay. I don't want to just start off right off with the jumping into the straight hardcore questions, but let's just get right to it because you got a lot of history.
Okay.
I apologize to you. Someone just muted me. I guess they didn't want me to get to the hard questions.
Right. They want to hear the hardcore questions. I definitely want to hear them, and I think that the readers definitely need to hear and know what's real behind urban street literature. You know, a lot of people, they don't get a chance to see often or they don't get a chance to really hear what it is that they do. But this is a great opportunity for them to actually see, know, and actually hear firsthand those who are in the streets who are definitely making these books move. So definitely, Aaron, go ahead and, you know, highlight how they make it work down there in the DMV.
Well, I mean, of course, only no one can explain that better than the diva herself. Like Toni said when she was reading her bio, they've been out there doing it for almost a decade, you know what I mean, strong. So, if we want to know how they're doing it, you got to ask the source. So, how what's been your success to controlling the street market down there in the Chocolate City? What's been your method, so to speak?
My method started with an email list. That was the first thing that I did once I started hitting the streets of D.C. is once I realized that there was repeat clientele of people that were coming asking for books, the first thing I did was to make sure that I got an email list together. So every time I would leave out the door to set up my book stand, I would have an email list. Then in 2010, I do a lot of reading, marketing, promotions, business. Those are the type of reads that I like. So I read an article, and the article said by 2013, so many millions of dollars would be made with text messaging. So I got my text message list together. So from those things, I have been able to continue to remarket myself, my company, and also anyone that I was hosting or any literary information to the readers that I had already identified here in D.C. So that's really how I got started, and I just kept in constant contact with them, updating them. They can now text me, and it comes straight to my phone, and I can respond. They can say, hey, do you have this book? Hey, what location are you going to be at today? I remember an author once told me, no one's going to follow you because you don't have a store. You're not out here, you know, every day, or you're not at one central location. And I said, okay. Well, now my customers, they know where I am. They know what days I'm going to be there and what time, because this is something that has been consistent for years and years now.
Right.
They know on Monday they're not going to see me because she's doing the admin work. But they know on Thursday I'm going to be downtown from 3 to 6 p.m. because this has been the routine for almost the last 10 years.
Wow.
Which is basic branding, basically, even on the street level.
Yep. Guerrilla marketing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I really was going to go, but I wanted to talk about you as the writer, like you being the author. Like, I don't know if a lot of people know that you write as well.
Yeah, I have done Stella the Short Story, and I just completed Jessica Set the Table, which is my first instructional children's book about a little girl who sets the table. I don't get to write as much as I want to, Aaron, because of my team. I have so much work with them to do, so I help them a lot with some rewriting and proofreading and editing and things of that nature. So I haven't taken the time to really sit down and get back into writing other than to do the children's line that I'm working on now. But it is something that I really enjoy, and I saw a lot of success with the release of Stella, and I have a lot of people asking me for the book. Maybe next year. I was hoping it would happen this year, but the roster is full for this year. So maybe that's something that I will get to next year. I can't really promise that because I know you guys know, as you know, being creative people, my mind goes a mile a minute. I'm always looking. I have so much that I am doing this year that I have to get ready for, some things I have for next year. Like, I have a ton of things that I want to do. So getting back to writing is one of them, but because my background really is marketing and promotions and cultivation, I'm moving into teaching this year.
Okay.
And that's important.
Yeah,
they need
June,
that.
Yeah, June will be our first class. I don't have the information out online yet, but I do have the location secured. So if people want to check that out, that's going to be at dcbookdiva.com. But that's definitely going to be the third week in June will be our first session. So that's marketing and promotion, self-publishing and writing.
That's good. But I got a quick question, Aaron.
Diva, you talked about, you know, cultivating the work and things like that. As a publisher, do you feel that that is very important and very needed to actually, you know, have hands-on? You know, you have some people who have published works out there, or they publish authors, they maybe haven't really read their work, they don't really know what the work is about, and then, you know, it's on the street, it's moving, but they don't really know what it's about, and then if you get a review that says, well, this could have had more of this, or this could have had that, do you think your tactics with, you know, working hands-on with them, making sure that the work is efficient and it's typeset well and everything is done very well, how effective is that for you as a publisher?
I can't publish anything that I have not read. So that's very important to me because I am on the front line. So I hear the feedback from readers right away. So and then I've just gotten to the point where, you know, they expect a lot out of me. If I hear personally if something's wrong with the book, they're going to pick up the phone. A lot of my people are a lot of my readers that I service on the street that support me, have been with me, have been reading all the way back to the coldest winter ever. They are very particular. You can't just give them anything.
Okay.
It's a little
right.
different with the ebook market and the paperback market. I mean, they will throw that paperback at you. You know, they are real, you know, what I've noticed with the paperback lovers are they really, really want a whole story, and I can't cut corners on delivering, you know, things that are not of quality of what they're used to. So
right.
it's very important. I look at everything. Not that I'm error-proof, because I'm not. Everyone, you know, we're only human. The human
right.
eye misses things. But everything comes back to me. If it's from the author to the editor, from the editor to me, and then we may have three or four proofreaders after that.
Okay.
You know, or back to the editor, however it goes. Well, it's a process here. It's maybe four or five different eyes that's looking at our work before we release it.
Yeah, and that's old school right there. You know, I learned that in Wahida's camp, you know, making sure that you have your proofreaders and you don't have just one eye. You know, Wahida prints everything out as well because, you know, things look different on a computer than they do on actual paper. You get the paper print out, you're like, oh, shoot, I didn't see those three spaces. So, yeah, it behooves you to take your time and, you know, go through the work and don't rush the process because I always say the readers are very intelligent, you know, and they want
yes, they
to
are.
Read the work. So have enough,
yeah.
you know, enough care to take all the proper steps to make sure that they get a good quality piece of work. Yes, that is very, very important. I know that we're getting ready to bring your partner in crime on here. Love, love, love him to death, Mr. E. Williams. Every time I come down there, he always make me feel at home. You know, like, don't get this, I got it. And, you know, make sure everybody gets to their cars and stuff safely. Everything is always laid out, you know, really nice when you come down and have a DC Book Diva experience. And I really appreciate that. A lot of that is lost, you know, in the industry.
We appreciate
you know,
the ones that come out as well. That is so important.
It's great. It's a great experience.
I got a question today. I'm doing a written interview for a magazine, and one of the questions they asked me was, why did urban books, street fiction do so well in the streets? And, you know, I was thinking about my answer to the question, and the answer really is because you guys come out and meet the people. This is why it's been so successful. This is why it's still selling on the streets. This is why certain people sell better than others in the area because they have come out and they've made that connection with the people, and that's so important.
Yeah, it is. It is important. Go ahead, Aaron.
I got a quick straight no chaser question. For the diva, this straight no chaser. When you mentioned Nathan Welch and you were like, you know, you hope the people see how, you know, gifted of a writer he is, do you feel that there's been a transition in the readership in the last couple of years to where now you have to hope that someone can recognize a great writer?
Wow.
Somewhat, yes. Especially if the author is not here. I'll be honest with you. If you talk to anyone in the federal prison, they all know his name. You know, we have
I've actually heard his name as well.
Yeah,
before
everybody knows
even
his
put
name.
The book out.
Yeah, everybody knows his name. He's an excellent jewel in this industry. I think what happens is the presence has changed. You have a younger readership now that, you know, you have to really engage them. And he's not able to actually to be online like some of the ones that are online now. So, yeah, I think it's changed some. I mean, I can release his book, and through distribution we might sell 3,000 copies, no problem. But online it's a little difficult because he's not here. He can't communicate with people.
I get it. I definitely get it. I just had to ask you. That was a straight no chaser question because I knew you was going to give it right up.
I'm going to always tell the truth.
That's what's up. So we're going to bring Mr. Eon in the clubhouse. Who's reading his bio? We definitely need to bring him in here so he can continue this.
Absolutely. We want to drop. He actually has his own music that has just applied to us from his latest mixtape. So, Aaron, why don't you drop that beat before bring on, I'm going to call him the professor because I've listened to it and it's very good.
That's what's up.
Anybody can get it. Coward killers and villains. Blood spilling and killing. That's how my niggas is living. Man, anybody can get it. Judge, jury, and witness. Niggas behind the fences and niggas that's in the trenches. Man, anybody can get it. Coward killers and villains. Blood spilling and killing. That's how my niggas is living. Man, anybody can get it. Judge, jury, and witness. Niggas behind the fences and niggas that's in the trenches. Anybody can get it. I live it, so don't forget it. 9 out of 10, they scared. They cowards, but won't admit it. Mugging and pistol clicking. When they gon' get you missing, I'll be sitting in your kitchen, waiting with ammunition. My death is a million vicious. Please stay out my business. No snitches or lonely bitches. Pretending to be on my mission. My niggas stay in position, waiting for a description. They ride up like suiciders with 9/11 tradition. My wishes gon' get respected, or death gotta get tested. You rough and tough, ain't you reckless? Your closet is full of stresses. I seen niggas as killers get hit up with 45. Look them right in the eyes. I told them before they died. You my nigga by any means. I'm gon' ride for you, die for you. That's some hollow smile for you. Slim, I ain't lying to you. Anybody can get it. Yeah, that's how I'm feeling. Rough, rugged, and ready to wipe or whatever living. Anybody can get it. Coward killers and villains. Blood spilling and killing. That's how my niggas is living. Man, anybody can get it. Judge, jury, and witness. Niggas behind the fences and niggas that's in the trenches. Man, anybody can get it. Coward killers and villains. Blood spilling and killing. That's how my niggas is living. Man, anybody can get it. Judge, jury, and witness. Niggas behind the fences and niggas that's in the trenches. Man, I'm straight from that 88, that early 90s era. With money, drugs, and murder, metal made my niggas rebels. My niggas, they were several. Telling love to question. We caught the cases, they're the numbers, never second guessing. We never answer questions. We niggas that been tested. From the knuckles to the knife, the pop was nothing reckless. Niggas and niggas was fearing, and some niggas, my niggas was killing. My nigga, that nigga that shot the feds right down in that building. Benny Lee from 1st and Kennedy Street. You know that nigga walk right up in the headquarters and slaughter them bitch niggas. The trigger got so hot even the FBI can get it. So what you think my niggas gon' do if your niggas start tripping? My niggas gon' get them AK-47s and let them have it. When we come through with them choppers, it's murder automatic. Them bullets flying, bodies dropping, niggas taking a cop now. I thought them niggas was killers, man. The cowards are heavy locked down. Anybody can get it. Coward killers and villains, blood spilling and killing. That's how my niggas is living. Man, anybody can get it. Judge, jury, and witness. Niggas behind the fences and niggas that's in the trenches. Man, anybody can get it. Coward killers and villains, blood spilling and killing. That's how my niggas is living. Man, anybody can get it. Judge, jury, and witness. Niggas behind the fences and niggas that's in the trenches. You say your niggas are killers, niggas. nigga, well look at mine. We coming through your block, lock your door, shut your blinds. We bout to turn your residence into a killing field, with bandanas, black Tims, and plenty of steel. My clock is full of hydro shots, why you full of talk? I talk the talk, walk the walk, I leave you tracing chunk. And all your niggas that was selling death when we was coming, empty they clips and fled the scene, so they died running. It ain't no time for second guessing in this deadly game, cause you gon' run across some niggas that's gon' bring the pain and leave you slain with your reputation devastated, in pieces on your back porch decapitated. Beside a note from your mama saying sorry, miss, I tried to warn your boy, he chose to get this life like this. He should've listened when I talk, I only speak the truth. But you know how niggas act when they think they bulletproof. Anybody can get it. Coward killers and villains, blood spilling and killing. That's how my niggas is living. Ain't anybody can get it. Judge, jury, and witness. Niggas behind the fences and niggas that's in the trenches. Ain't anybody can get it. Coward killers and villains, blood spilling and killing. That's how my niggas is living. Ain't anybody can get it. Judge, jury, and witness. Niggas behind the fences.
Absolutely.
That was fire.
Author Eon Williams was born and raised in Washington, D.C. He is a publisher, author, rapper, and actor representing urban life in a way that is uniquely his. Known for hardcore, gritty novels, Eon made the Don Diva bestsellers list with his first novel, Fastlane, which was under Fastlane Publications. He followed up that debut novel with Hellraiser Honeys 1 and 2. That was under Cartel Publications. He then delivered his readers a short story entitled, he's also a staff writer for Don Diva magazine. His most notable work is featured in Don Diva's issue, their 30th issue, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, where he outlined the rise and fall of D.C. street legends, Michael Fry Salters, and Wayne Perry. Eon's first acting role was in the movie Dark City, District Hustle. His latest mixtape, which we just heard, A Killer's Ambition, is a soundtrack to the novel A Killer's Ambition under DC Book Depot Publications by Nathan Welch. With the release of his first novel, Barton Legend, DC under DC Book Depot's publication, Eon reached his heights in his career and won the AAMBC Award for Male Author of the Year in 2012. Always Norton Legends was another bestseller in Secrets Never Die, which was also published under DC Book Depot's publication. Secrets Never Die is soon to be a movie. For more information about author Eon Williams, visit his Facebook page. And he also at facebook.com, Eon/Eon.Williams. And then he can be reached on Twitter as well, at Eon the Writer. Also on Instagram, at Uptown Eon. So, Aaron, if you'll bring in the talented author Eon Williams.
Yes. Hello, hello, hello. What's good? What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's happening, Holmes? Thanks for having me.
All right.
We're happy that you're here. What's going on?
Yeah, appreciate
I see all that stuff cooking over there, Mr. Eon Williams. You always got something in the pot, and that's good to see. You know, see you continuously progressing. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know what's up with me. Just grinding.
That song is hot, and I like the fact that so you have the soundtracks and things to go along with the books, because I think that's a real, real, real good tool to have that, you know, to go along with your favorite book, the soundtrack. It's not songs that's on there, songs that inspire you when you're reading it. But you've been out there doing it, moving. Give them a little bit of your history in this game, you know, besides, you know, the accolades and things, the things that really go to the core of what made Eon Williams who he is today?
As far as in the writing and the publishing industry, you know what I mean? I got into writing while I was in prison. I was serving time in prison. I read a lot of books, You know what I mean? I wanted to do some other things as far as, man, come home to doing something positive as opposed to coming home, you know what I mean, trying to get on my feet, doing some other things. So I started a publishing company called Fastlane Publications, which is now Fastlane Entertainment, and I put out my first book. I tried to write my first book, which was Fastlane, and I actually was inspired to write that book by, you know, reading other books that was in the urban genre. You know what I mean? I read a lot of Donald Goins when I was down. But Shannon Holmes' book, Be More Careful, for one, stood out a lot because at that point in time when this book came out and it got exposure and certain things, you know, he was incarcerated at the time. And, I kind of identified with a lot of his struggles that I seen in those articles about him. So, you know, get some props to him, get some props to some of the aspirational things that, man, got me to write Fastlane. I wrote Fastlane, and then I took my own money, you know what I mean, and got Fastlane put out. And, mm-hmm. you know, we sold like 2,200 copies of the joke for me being in jail with no real distribution, I mean, no barcode, no nothing, you know what I mean, just on the strength of my name and strength of my father's name. And from there, you know, I kind of like really, I guess you would say I officially got in the game to the point where it was real business. I was getting a check, and my book was published under a publishing company that was supposed to be correct as far as how it was set up, which was a company called Envision Publications. I mean, yeah, that's what it was, Envision Publishing. It was owned by this dude named Darren Coleman, who wrote a nice amount of books, and that was his publishing company at the time. So that got me some national, a little bit of national notoriety. But at the time, you know what I mean, I was still in the Fed, so I guess a lot of people, you know, didn't know me. I wasn't able to do book signing and so forth and so on. And some people even to this day, you know what I mean, they thought I was a girl, like just on the strength of not being able to pronounce my first name. So it was, you know, it was a lot of mystery to who I was. However, my man, you know what I mean, my main man, Jason Poole, he, uh-huh. You know what I mean, he had a whole lot of buzz going with Lost in the End of the Triple Crown and whatnot. So anyway, you know, he had to plug with T. Styles, and I had a book that was just sitting in my locker at the time. I hadn't given up on writing, but I was more focused on getting out of prison. So while I was focused on getting out of prison, he told me, you know, mail him the book. So I mailed him a book called Hellraiser Honey. He took that book to T. Styles, and I got a deal with Cartel Publications. So, you know, that took my name to another level. You know what I mean? People started to know me a little bit more because at this time now I got, you know, two little books out. And I just, after, you know what I mean, you know, after the whole thing with the Hellraiser Honeys and the buzz that came with that, you know what I mean, and the success of the Cartel, I kind of, man, felt like, you know, maybe I could stick with this writing thing. I just might be good. And I was blessed to be able to come back into the free world and come back into the free world. And, I mean, I got busy. I got down to business. And, Lord Legends ended up coming out. Lord Legends probably was, you know what I mean, the biggest book that I had as far as, you know what I mean, I'm home, I'm free, people, you know what I mean, hearing about the book. And, you know, it's not just, like, Lord Legends, even though I write urban fiction, I'm saying for those that don't know, you know what I mean, I write a little bit of everything. I write fiction, I write nonfiction or whatever. However, Lord Legends, I wrote it and I had a platform to be urban fiction, but it was actually historic fiction. You know what I mean, with some hood stuff mm-hmm. in it. But the book, you know what I mean, the book got a lot of love, you know what I mean? You know, shout out to DC Book Diva for believing in that book, because I'm saying, in all actuality, when I pitched the book to her, I pitched the book to her just on the strength of who I was and what I was telling her was in it. But, you know what I mean, she took a chance on that book and, you know what I mean, put her name on that book and rock and roll with that book when a lot of people thought that it was just a jail book, which it wasn't. And, you know, after that, you know what I mean? I just kept rocking and rolling, came up with other books, you know, Secrets Never Die, Money Ain't Everything. That's my latest joint based on a true story.
Okay.
And that's pretty much my story with this writing thing. You know, minus a couple little minor details, but, you know,
now
in
how
the
did
short
that
version, it took a while to do it, huh?
I said, how did that feel to you, you know, being behind the wall first, you know, and seeing your work get published, and then once you were able to actually hit the streets and be with the readers, and we were just talking with Diva, and she's, you know, saying how powerful of a force it is to actually be out there where the readers can get to you, and they know where they can find their favorite authors at. How was that transition for you?
In all actuality, man, like, I live my life at such a pace where, as though, you know, I feel as though, like, I'm behind in a lot of things, you know what I mean? Like I said, okay. I spend a lot of time away. So, being as I live my life like that, there's so many things that I want to accomplish, there's so many places that I want to be as far as position of accomplishment, that I kind of, like, look back at my accomplishments after they've already happened, be like, dang, I did that. But in an all honest sense, man, some things I don't get to enjoy at the moment because I'm so focused on what's next. You know what I mean? It's almost like when I was young, I used to box. Old timers used to be like, man, you're only as good as your last fight. So, you know, I don't never want to lose a fight. So if I put a book out and it's good, of course, man, I'm critiquing it so much. You know what I mean? It's never as good to me as it is to the next person. But, you know what I mean? I'm fortunate and I'm blessed that, you know what I mean, people like my writing, people support me. But as far as, you know, how do I really grab it, man, you know what I mean? I grab it as just another day at the office, you know what I mean? Whether I'm selling myself as far as what I offer, whether I'm selling something that's already done in package, man, I'm just trying to, man, step to you, one individual person. Convince you that, man, this is what you're trying to, man, get into. Convince you that this worth your time or your money, you know what I mean? And I'm saying I always want to be acceptable to all the people. I mean, you know, that's my whole formula with it, you know what I mean? Just keep doing whatever it takes to, you know what I mean, get the goal accomplished. I mean, whether that's writing books, writing movies, whatever it is, I'm just trying to make a move with it. I'm never content.
Right, and that's a blessing, and that's very humbling. And that's the same personality we get out of you every time, you know, we're able to be in your presence. And that's the part of the real man, you know, consistency and character.
Yeah.
So that's what's up. And I'm proud of your success. How important do you think it is, the paperback game? Like, a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on the fact of the e-book game, and it is moving really, really fast. But someone like yourself who pretty much are dealing with paperbacks every single day, just talk to the readers about how important the paperback side of this game is.
All right, I'm saying, for me, you know what I mean, I guess we would consider people like myself as, you know, we business people. You know, we own companies. We got to make money to live, make money to, you know, support the company, support ourselves and everything. So at the end of the day, whatever platform we've been built or we've been given, we use it to sell product. If you're selling e-books or you're selling paperbacks, you know what I mean, whatever it is, first and foremost, let's get it out the way that you got to grind, you got to make it work. With that being said and that out the way, to sell a paperback was my dream. You understand? To go from, you know, changing my life from being a negative, turning it into a positive. My dream was to sell tons upon tons upon tons of paperbacks. I had no idea what e-books were. When they came, I didn't take them serious for a moment until I realized that, hey, you know, it's another check. So anytime it's a check, it's going to get my attention. However, you done been with me on the streets. I done been with you on the streets. I see how you hustle. I see how you interact. You know what I mean? I know you see how I interact. So with that being said, the way that I sell a paperback book to a person I meet, like I sell books anyway. I sell a book at a gas station. I sell a book at a church. I sell books at my mama house. You understand? But you can't do that with no e-book if it ain't in your hand. Once again, I'm saying that not to knock no e-book. I'm saying I know people that sell thousands of e-books, tons and tons of e-books. But I'm just saying it's a joy. It's a gratification for me to, man, sell you a hard copy of a paperback, sign it, flip through it, show you the back of it. You know what I mean? I enjoy that. You know what I mean? I enjoy that a whole lot.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? That's the importance of it for me is more of a gratification than just a paycheck. Because I'm saying I'm going to get paid one way or another. I'm going to get paid with an e-book or I'm going to get paid with a paperback. It really don't make me no difference how the check comes. However, what does make a difference is I meet Joe Blow love my book. If I meet Miss Around the Way Girl and she love my book, you know what I mean? When I see him riding down the street, she blow the horn at me. When I see Slim in the club, you know, like I went to the club recently. Dude, I don't even know. You know what I mean? I'm standing with all local rappers, local D-boy, local hood stars. And she say, I mean, the dude say, oh, you wrote that book, Lord Legends. You know what I mean? It ain't nothing like that. He ain't saying that, you know, you did this or you did that. He's saying you wrote this book, Lord Legends. He got the book. He read the book. He read the book and paperback. The book was signed. I didn't even remember him. So that just goes to show you how many people I'm meeting, at least where I'm from. We're not even talking about no other city.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's a whole bunch of love, whole bunch of gratification that come with just having a paperback book in your hand. You understand? For me.
Yes. And that feeling, like you said, flipping them papers open, and you know, they like, can you sign this or can you tell me that?
Yeah.
And you write on that little blank piece.
Then I'm saying, you know what I mean? With me, I mean, I've sold more paperbacks than I've sold e-books, right? However, we all know there's people that sold more e-books than paperbacks. So maybe their love or their first passion is with that. You know what I mean? But like I said, my first passion, my first love, when I first seen my book, when I first seen a copy of a book that I wrote, it came in the mail. I was in jail. They called mail. Boom. They gave me an envelope. I popped the envelope out, and I looked at a book that had my name on it. You know what I mean? That changed something for me. So I got a whole nother story, whole nother man backdrop to a story about paperbacks that's probably over the head of some people. So, you know what I mean? My lovers will always be there. You know, like some people say, it's going to be a day where there's no paperbacks. I don't buy that. You know what I mean? Because if there ever is a day where as though everything is electronic, everybody is all on e-books, trust and believe whoever got a paperback is going to be like you having an antique car. It's going to be something special about it. Why? Because it's physical. It's tangible. You can hold it in your hand.
Yes. Yes.
You understand? They find the religious books right now from 2,000-3,000 years ago. You know what I mean? So I'm saying that to say that, man, those books, sure, they may be divine. It's on a whole other level. We're not going to compare them to what we do. But I'm just saying, for 2,000-3,000 years ago, they'll find that books on scrolls and all types of things, and the special thing about it is that they have been buried for hundreds and hundreds of years. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
I mean, the paperback will always be special.
That written word is powerful. That written word is powerful. And that's awesome. Well, we're going to get ready to bring Mr. Poole in here so he can continue to add to the success and the greatness that comes out of the DMV. We have DC Book Diva on the line. We also have Eon Williams on the line. They're in the chat room. The call queue is on lock. People are definitely listening and learning how this book hustle goes. We can go ahead on and drop the beat for Mr. Poole, and then we're going to bring him on in here after we read his bio. Somebody go ahead and drop that beat.
Step before the star, greatest show on earth. What's understood ain't got to be said. Simple.
Don't
I see it, Zippo. I got you, homie. No more Jose, no more Rosé.
Like my dog,
it ain't Rosé. All he wanted was the fame, make it last forever. You get the ones, I get the ones, we make it rain together. I'm talking Quavo
dreams,
crystal fantasy, smoking that game. Just keep it standing. Just me and my nigga, like what I'm doing. Still party, club closed an hour ago. I got the back to back Lambos, a thing of the past. Talk on the shirt, now we talking through a glass. Just like the glass, I know it sees right through me. Transparent, I can't hide my window pane. I'm thinking what to say to make him have a better day. Walking down the slow hall, like what the fuck I'm gonna say. As I'm walking down the halls, I feel a stretch in the walls. I need
Hey, Mr. Cool, how you doing?
You didn't read his bio. He's not even in yet.
Oh.
I'm going to read it.
Harry Tony.
Lisa, stop drinking in the green room. Go ahead.
Maybe okay. Don't tell my secret.
Go ahead.
Jason Poole is the author of 3 urban best-selling classics, Larceny Park Candy and Victoria's Secret. And I have to add that he's also written Prince of the City, because I'm actually in the middle of reading that right now. He is also a screenwriter who has written several movies, as well as the executive producer of the budding reality show slated for production. Now serving as president and CEO of his own publishing house, Gangsta Chronicles Books, Jason is currently working on his memoir titled Products of Our Environment and the release of his first novel under his own imprint. D-Lo, now you can bring in author Jason Poole. So, Miss Alicia.
Okay. Alicia, you ready? Get your ready voice on. I'm about to bring him in.
Bring him in, Eric.
What's good, brother? How you feeling tonight?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good, man. I appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for having me. I'm grateful, appreciative. You know, anything that has anything to do with my career, this genre, anything with urban fiction, man, I'm with it 100%. Any day, any time, anywhere.
We appreciate you for coming through. Definitely.
And I'm always going to be here. I ain't going nowhere. I'm always going to be here.
That's a good thing, and it's good to see that, you know, it's good to see that you just, you know, we have been talking about that prison to power that's going on right now with a lot of our authors and our publishers who's, you know, behind the wall putting together master plans and then walking out of there and able to employ yourself, you know, employ others and continue the movement going. Give us a little history about yourself, Mr. Poole, let the readers know, you know, who you are and your contributions to the game.
Well, I'm Jason Poole. I started writing around 99, 2000 after reading Coldest Winter Ever, and True to the Game. I was serving a 23-year sentence. Let me go back to let y'all know I was locked up for possessing the intent to distribute cocaine. I went to trial like a lot of brothers don't do, and I lost. I got convicted and got sentenced to 23 years. While I was in prison, the first prison I went to was the United States Penitentiary. And while I was in prison, in federal prison, I started taking paralegal classes as well and started working on my case. And while I'm working on my case and when I start taking these paralegal classes, I found out that I could write motions just as good as a lawyer that took 8 years of law school to write. And I wrote them so eloquently. And people that read them, reading them, was like, man, wow, it's good. And I started writing letters. I had, you know, a few women. I had 23 years, so I'm writing any woman that write me, I'm going to write her back a 20, 30-page letter. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I got 23 years, you know what I'm saying? So... Huh? I wrote these type of letters, and they were so good. And, you know, I had women tell me, you know, my girlfriend at the time, she used to race home from work just to get that letter in the mailbox. And when it wasn't a letter there, I mean, you know, I have a pissed off day. She'd be mad because, you know, the letters kept her going. She used to call them short stories.
Okay.
And she's like, man, you know, you need to start writing or something. But, I started writing about my lifestyle back then, and I put my first book together, Larceny. I say based on 75-80% of my life, my life story, because a childhood friend had snitched on me, and I never knew that he snitched on me. I never knew that why I was in prison until 7 years later. I never knew the real reason why I was in prison until 7 years after I was in prison.
Wow.
Filing for Freedom of Information Act, and I started getting debriefings, and I started getting dockets, dues dockets, and I started digging deep into law like I was supposed to, and I found out a childhood friend had given up information on me and my other childhood friends, and from there on, man, I got angry and I wrote Larceny, and it came out, it was a classic, you know, and at the end of the day, I gave my time back after serving 11 years. And while I gave my time back, I have a prosecutor who's so vicious, you know, she's so vindictive, so vindictive, you know what I'm saying, that she appealed my judge's decision on grounds of jurisdiction. And after I was home a year, I had to turn myself back in because the prosecutor had won. The government had won their case in the appeals court. And so I had to turn myself back in prison just to fight them again a whole another 5 years to find myself right back out here again. So I never gave up. That's my motto. I never gave up. I never gave up at all with my fight. But while I was fighting, I was writing also. And that's what inspired me to write, the ability to never give up.
Yeah.
So from there on, I fell in love with writing, and I just kept it moving, kept doing my thing. I came out with Larceny. Then I came out with Convict Candy with my co-author, Damon Amin Meadows, a great man, a good friend of mine. And, at that time, Amin was engaged to best-selling author publisher Terry Wood, and she's come up visit him in the pen and everything. I read True to the Game before it even came. I read True to the Game, man, when it was, I'm talking about damn near glued together, wrapped around in rubber bands and pencil.
Wow.
So, and that inspired me a whole lot as well, because the book was good, and then later on it became a phenomenal. So after I got with me and Amin put out Convict Candy, and we published it under then a guy named Hickson, who was a self-publisher. He only had a poetry book called Ghetto Heat, and the name of his company, Ghetto Heat Productions. And it was a HIV awareness novel. It was a controversial novel. That novel, it was Amin's idea. He had a great idea, and he wanted to bring out to the world what was happening in prison, as far as, you know what I'm saying, that was concerned. And I teamed up with him, and I got with him, and we put that novel out, and we published with a small-time publisher, and we helped catapult his company to what it is today, Ghetto Heat Productions, whether somebody admitted or not. Our book helped catapult that company to what it is today.
That joint's definitely a classic.
We got a lot of national exposure for that. We got people right now today willing to pay $200 and $300 for that book because it's not even in print anymore.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, wow. Everywhere I go, every book signing I go to, every state, I've been touring a lot lately. So everywhere I go, they asking for that book. So me and Amin, we're working on putting that back out ourselves right now. We're trying to get with the guy Hickson, and, you know, we're trying to work something out and get it out ourselves. If he don't want to do anything with it, we make him an offer he can't refuse. I came home, and I met Toy Styles, T. Styles, and Sharice Washington for Cartel Publications. And we, you know, we became partners, and I presented them with my novel, Victoria's Secret. At that time, I was still under Triple Crown, and I was cool with Vicky Stringer. You know, I'm not going to Now, I heard a lot of things about her, but I didn't hear anything about her during this time. So, I was still cool. I was still cool with Vicky Stringer because when I came home, Vicky sent me a check it wasn't a royalty check. It didn't have anything to do with any of my literary work. She sent me a check and told me to put the check in the bank and told me to go on tour and re-promote Larceny. And I went everywhere. I went on a Pantene tour. She sent me everywhere. And I was a poster child for my own novel. And I got out there, and I pushed that novel again, and it became a bestseller again. And while I was pushing that novel, I was also pushing Convict Candy, in which Convict Candy didn't make the Essence bestsellers list until I came home. I'm not saying that I did it, but I'm just saying, note, that it did not reach bestsellers until I came home, and I began doing those book signings with that book. After that, I presented T. Styles with Victoria's Secret, and we published Victoria's Secret, and that was one of my greatest experiences ever in the book game. I went everywhere. I sold so many books. I met great people. I established good business relationships, some friendships, and I've met a lot of associates, a lot of great associates as well in the industry. I've not had one enemy or one hater or whatever. If I did, I don't know about it. Nobody never told me.
I
don't care anyway. So
that's the main point right there. Cause you got to do what's conducive to you and what's conducive to your career continuing to blossom. And you know, I'm thankful that we have you on the show because you just gave us some really good pieces of history that, you know, the readers definitely need to hear and need to know about. You know what I'm saying? Like Diva was saying, we have a lot of new readers, a younger brand of reader, and they don't get this part of the history. They don't get to understand the sacrifices and everything that was made, you know, from the beginning that has it now where you can just one-click anything. You know, and Eon spoke very powerful about that paperback life and, you know, how energetic it is. And then you come on right behind them, you know, speaking about those paperbacks, the history of the paperbacks and what, you know, you guys had to go through, you know, being African-American authors, writing something that's totally different from what mainstream is used to and believing in it and continuing it on. And we thank you so much for your contributions to the industry. Tony,
I
think Tony had a question.
Absolutely.
Did you have a question, Tony?
Yes, I did. Hi, Jason. I'm Tony, and once again, welcome to the show. I'm actually
reading your... Okay, let me just correct. Are you Mrs. Tony? Because, or you Miss Tony? Because, you know, we got a Miss Tony from Oso Online Book Club. And then
I'm just Tony.
Oh, you just Tony. Okay. You just Tony. I'm getting it straight, so I'm gonna never have to, you know, get it mixed up again. You just Tony.
No problem. I'm just Tony.
Glad to meet you, Tony. Go ahead, ask your question.
Yeah, that's just my number. That's my number one trapper right there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Crazy, Tony.
I'm sorry.
What'd you say?
I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
I said
but
I'm
I
asking you crazy.
No, I'm not gonna say. Let me get my question, Jason.
Come on, baby.
You're throwing me all off. I'm actually reading your book, Prince of the City, and it's pretty good. And I'm an avid reader, and I love reading from the very first page. And I noticed in there that you had mentioned Wahida Clark. So I just wanted to know how that relationship came to be and how instrumental she was in your literary journey.
A phenomenal woman, great woman. Like I said earlier, I've met some friends and some good associates. I would consider Wahida Clark to be a friend of mine. I actually met Wahida Clark through an acquaintance that was incarcerated with her. And that acquaintance was somebody who was very dear and very close to me and very dear and very close to my best friend, which is dead now. And he's like, I want you to meet Wahida, whatever. And we already knew about each other. And next thing you know, we just thought, you know, we wrote each other. We became cool. And it was like, man, I'm going to shout you out in all my acknowledgments. And then she's like, I'm going to shout you out in all mine. And we're going to push each other and things like that. And, you know, a lot of interviews I said her name. A lot of interviews she done said my name and things like that. And we vibe and we connected and we formed a relationship. And we formed a relationship built upon impregnable doctrines, you know what I'm saying? You know, honesty, loyalty, trust, you know what I'm saying? And eventually, you know, came into, you know, love, you know what I'm saying? I love that woman, you know, she's a great woman, I love her, you know what I'm saying? Because she had no problem reaching out, helping me when I asked for it. And I definitely won't have no problem reaching out, helping her if she ever asked for it. I'm loyally in debt to her. And while I was incarcerated, I said, I'm going to put Prince of the City out. I was waiting for a long time because Prince of the City was a major project. We were turning it into a movie. We already did the soundtrack, the videos to it, and everything. And an unfortunate situation happened while I was in prison. My best friend, who was the CEO of the Gangsta Chronicles Music, which is a company that has cartoons, movies, music, et cetera. And it recently got jammed up. For, you know, really, really bad, really jammed up situation. They ain't facing a life sentence. So right before that, I'm still fighting my case. So while he's locked up, I'm like, man, I gotta put this book out. You know what I'm saying? I gotta make this right. I can't let my homies down. That's why that song, that Sting song you put on there, that's my Sting song. You know what I'm saying? Say, man, don't never let us real niggas down. So I'm not gonna never let them down. So I say, man, I'm gonna put this book out while I'm in prison and show them that I can do something. Then I wanted to show the world that I can do something too. Plus, I was angry at the system. They locked me back up. They locked me back up for a jurisdiction. I'm supposed to be home. You locked me back up. You making me angry. So I'm saying, okay, F y'all too. I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna show the world that I can do something, can be productive, even while in prison. There's a quote out of a book called The Circle Seven. I don't know if any of you all are familiar with The Circle Seven out of the Most Sized Temple of America. A messenger named Noble Drew Ali, and he said that even out of the worst, a wise man will always find the means to do something good. I was in my worst, and I found the means to do something good. So I reached out to Waheed, and I called her. I said, "Man, Waheed, back then I could talk about it now. But I had a cell phone in prison. You know what I'm saying? I had a little cell phone, so I hit her up on the phone." You know, she called, you know, she answered. You know, I called her direct. She answered the phone. You know, she's not too big for her britches or nothing. She answered the phone like, "Hey, what's up?" I'm like, "Man, look, I need a favor." She's like, what it is? I said, "I'm trying to publish this book. I need some distribution. And I'm not out there, so I don't have the arm and legs to do everything that I want to do. Plus, I wanted to show my previous publishers, and then business partners, T-Styles and Sharice Washington, the Cartel Publications, that I can do something like this on my own, because they always push me to become my own boss. That's one thing I can say by being under Cartel at that time. They always saw the potential of being of a boss within me, and they said, you're a boss. You ain't supposed to be signed to nobody's label. You're supposed to have your own label. You know what I'm saying? Like you, like other people, that's something else. But you, you're a boss. Nobody's supposed to be telling you what to do. And I commend them for that. And what I did, I reached out to Waheeda, and Waheeda's like, whatever I can do for you. So my wife had met her, and you know they could, you know, whatever the business level was conducted, you know they conducted the business, and next thing you know, Prince of the City was out. I had a two-page article in the Straight Stunt magazine, which was really, really, really big for federal prison, for federal and state prison. I still get fan mail. I'm gonna say Gmail, because ain't number real, you know, people writing me back from those articles. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Real people. Not fans not writing me from that article. It's just real people. Like, man, I respect what you're doing. I respect that, man. You gave me motivation to do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? They said, man, different things like that. So I inspired a lot of brothers and sisters that are incarcerated or just, you know, locked somewhere, beyond their will. I inspired them to do something greater than themselves and be something greater than themselves and do something that they wish that they could do. You know, it's no longer a wish. It's no longer a desire. It's an act now. They're doing it. So I inspired them with doing that. And me and Waheeda, man, we real, real close. And, I love her for that. I really do, man. I really do, because not once did she hesitate whatsoever to help me out. It wasn't about a whole lot of money. She wasn't trying to wake me out no money or anything. She was just straight up being real. And I respect her for that.
Yes, that's a good thing. It was good to see the book in the office, you know, and to see the success that it was making and how it was moving. And that's a good thing, you know, to be able to reach out to genuine people and they can reach back and help you get to where you're trying to go, which, you know, a lot of people are saying that sometimes that's also missing in our industry, people who will actually reach back and help the new age author or, author that maybe people haven't been able to get to or what so have you. And now, you know, they're able to, if somebody can reach back and, you know, lend that same hand. Yes, I think Tony has a question for Diva. You had a question for Diva, Tony?
Yes, I did. DC Book Diva, you still with us, girl?
I'm here.
Hey, this is Tony. I just had a quick question because I wanted to ask you about the mobile bookstore. Now, I don't want to actually give my age away, and I'm not sure if anybody remembers the Bookmobile. We used to have that in Brooklyn. People may, if he's not in here,
I heard of that.
You heard of that? Now, was that the concept of your bookstore? Because it was a great way to spread literature and among the children that didn't have a steady place to go. You know, it would come around the neighborhood like once a week, and I always looked forward to it because it only took a few days to read the book, and it was like a world that you walk in when you walk onto this. It was like a bus. And I just want to know, was your concept of the
book? So that is the concept, and that's kind of where I got the DC Book Divas mobile bookstore from, because we were actually mobile, so we weren't always in one location. At one point in time, I had almost five locations, and we would just go from different – right now we have two – but we would go from location to location with the schedule, sending out the email blast to let people know where we were, and it would be mobile because it would move. So, you know, once a week they would know where to meet us to pick up the book.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
It is. It is. It is a good experience. And like they said, you're down there, and when I'm down there, you know, you see people jumping out the cars and, you know, right on the corner, hurrying up, trying to get their little book and get back in the car. You know, they know that they're right there.
You know,
and
we had a store before the mobile. We actually, not before. With about maybe 2009, we had a store, and that was called Book Divas Literary Lounge. And we did not have a lot of success with the store. And I think a lot of the reason was because people were so used to us coming to them. So then I actually sat down with my grandmother. My grandmother is a real estate mogul, and she said, "This doesn't make sense. Why are you paying for space that people aren't coming to? That makes no sense. Close the store, go back to the streets. That's where you need to be. Forget about the image. Forget about trying to impress people. Do what makes business sense." And she was right. I mean, you know, I didn't have to pay, gas and electric and phone bill and internet bill and then rent and then turn around and also have to, get stopped. It just did not make good business sense, pay the taxes on the bill, you know, on the business. And then now D.C. has gotten so crazy. When you rent a building, they want you to pay the property taxes now.
Wow.
All of those things, by the time you look at your bottom line, it didn't make sense to me. So, coming from that family of business owners, you know, once I sat and talked to them, I said, you know, forget the image. I don't need the image. I need the sales.
Right.
You know, I need to be able, if I can get to these customers and I don't have to spend an extra dime other than to make sure that I have my email marketing program, make sure that I have the books that are in stock, it makes sense. And that's the way it's been, and it's been a great avenue to reach readers. And it keeps you right there in their face. You know, they know exactly where you're going to be. Hey, do you have this new book? Email me once you get this book. Like, it's a wonderful thing. I love paperbacks.
So, Diva, how do you balance the winter months? Like, you know, because with the weather and everything, and this winter was really, really harsh, you know, on us up here, up north. How do you manage? What do you do differently on the months when you can't really get out and, you know, see the readers? What do you have anything special that you do for them while they waiting for you to, you know, come back out there?
To be honest, I'm going to be totally 100. This probably was the first year that I did not really gear up and hit the streets.
Okay.
As long as it's not rain, and long as it's not, too much snow. I mean, I've even taken a shovel and shoveled my way out to reach my customers. I mean, Wahida, you know, will tell you, we do this year round pretty much if it's not too cold. This year I was in a better position because I actually have the publishing company, and I also have ShipToInmates.com, which also regular people can order from. We take phone orders, things of that nature as well. So my customers, they know, hey, listen, I'm on this side of town today. Are you going to, you know, are you coming this way or can you come past this way? They'll call us.
Okay.
You know, they don't really like that delivery fee, but, you know, we have to have a minimum of six.
Yo, I like
deliver.
That.
I mean,
I like that.
Because
that
does not make good business sense. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to tell them that. So what I tell them is there's a minimum order. Because, you know, gas is expensive nowadays, and every little expense you have to, you know, account for. So, you know, I'll tell them it's a 4-book minimum. You
that
know, if
sense,
you want me
though.
To deliver, I'll come to your door and deliver it. But there is a minimum because I have to make sure I'm getting it back in gas. You know, getting that money, that cash
right.
money back. Gas right,
right
now is $3.75 in D.C. You know, so
right.
that's how we kind of balance it out. And then, of course, you know, we have the distribution with, you know, our books and things of that nature. So it balanced out. But there is nothing, in my opinion, there is nothing like the streets to be able to go out, to not have to wait for the 30th of the month to come around for a check once a month. One of the biggest of being an entrepreneur is being able to create your own wealth when you need it. You know,
right.
my grandmother would always
right.
say, create your own job. I didn't get into publishing or any other business venture to wait on a check. I mean,
right.
you know, we want checks coming in, but I want to be able to always make my own money at any given
okay.
time. If today I need to set up, I need to set up, and I need to make money. I don't want to wait once a month to receive a check. The checks are fine, but we're not going to wait on them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay,
constantly
that's
hustling. That's right.
I got a question.
Right, I just want to see if there's any callers on
with
the
oh, yeah,
hand.
Yeah,
I'm getting inboxes. They're saying,
I ain't gonna lie, yo. We got some callers. I've been holding on to this question. I'm gonna wait though. I got now because I had a question for Eon like a minute ago.
Okay, hold that. Hold
yeah.
that. Let's have the callers.
Let's bring in 540-846. Good evening. You are live with the crew of Writing Royalty. We have the Chocolate City crew with us as well. That is Mrs. DC Book Diva, Eon Williams, and the legendary Jason Poole. Who are we speaking with?
Yeah, you speaking to Montana, man. I follow Jason and Eon on Facebook.
Okay.
I'm another DC writer. You know, I'm a little
okay.
older than Jason and Eon. But I just wanted to say, man, y'all making it easier for me, man. And, you know, there's no such thing as you can't teach an old dog new tricks, man, because I'm 50 or better, man. I've been writing for a while. Got books on Amazon, not doing as well as I wanted to, but hey, man, you know, guys like them is paving the way. When I sat down and really got into Lord of Legends, I ain't know where ever to go in the kitchen and put a knife under my bed or whatever, because I've been all through Lord, behind the wall and everywhere. And when I was, when in Jason book, he went up and took me over, he took me over Wingate, almost got shot over there. So it's memories, man, but to what they doing, man, hey, look, it's a beautiful thing, man. Keep that grind up, homie, for real.
Yeah.
That's
I love how they represent. Are they representing
yeah.
the Chocolate City?
I represented it, man. Let me tell you, man. I showed up in 63, man, and I'm gonna tell you, man. That it doesn't get no better than how they're telling it, man. That's all I can
enough.
Tell you, man. And I know them from all, man. I went to school with Rayful, Cougar, Cornell, things like that. I mean, I don't know them personally like that, but I knew Eon Uncle. He know who I'm talking about. You know, Jason. I know of him. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that, man. They really they telling it how it is, man, in the city, and man, just kudos, man. That's all I can say.
That's what's up, Chocolate City love. Who are we speaking with again?
You speak with
Montana,
man. I got books on Amazon. I had to do it.
Okay.
Montana. I had to do everything on my own, man. You know what I'm saying? But it ain't about me today. It's about them, man. So, you know, congratulations to both of y'all. Stay in contact on Facebook, man. I see y'all at the next book signing, bro.
Nah, we gonna get straight with you, champ. You stay up with us. You hear?
Yeah, man. I mean, I try to follow y'all on Facebook.
You hear?
I try to follow y'all on Facebook.
That's Montana. Why
you ain't got to do that no more? You just leave your contact, man. We'll talk with you.
That's what's up, man. I appreciate it, man. I need help. I'm out here in Virginia, man, and it ain't nothing nice, man. To me, the only good snake is a dead snake.
Okay, because that's what me and Eon are doing anyway. We're going to put that round table together in the city. You understand?
Well, I appreciate it. Just keep me in mind,
good.
Bro. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Thank all you,
man. I appreciate it, y'all. And your show.
Come out. My books
are already out. The fourth one, I'm trying to put the fourth one out, Across in the Click. Call me, chop it up. We can chop it up, man. I can tell you about it, man. I just don't have the time to do it on the level that you're doing it, man. But I'm willing to learn how to do it. If somebody open that door, I'm going to step on in, man. But I'm not going to come in uninvited. I don't step on toes, man. I know better. I know better. So, you know what I mean? If it's an invitation, I'm coming to the party. It's just that simple.
That's what's up. Yeah, so make sure
y'all hit inboxes. Y'all walk tall and be strong, man. That's all I can say. Y'all know how it is in the city, man.
That's what's up.
And I'll be in touch, man. Thanks, man.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in.
All right, TJ.
We're going to get this next caller. 323243. Good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew. And this is the Chocolate City Takeover. We have the DC Book Diva, Eon Williams, and Jason Poole. Who are we speaking with?
Yo, this is Godfather. I'm also on DC Beat Line.
That's what's
up. Right.
Hey, what's up,
he is in the building tonight. I love it.
Yeah, and I've been waiting to talk forever. So, you know, I'm sitting over here. I am in prison also, so let me put it out here. And I'm, like, trying to help you get in here and say what I got to say before I got to go. Anyway, let me get to it. Montana, I want to give him his props. I like how he did that. He seemed like a real cat. I'm going to check for your shit, my dude. Man, look here, bro. I just want to say thank you for being a role model and a guiding light for us that's in prison, folks, that's come out here and doing some shit that make a difference. Now, one thing I don't think they highlighted enough is that soundtrack you put on there, you didn't make it about yourself. That soundtrack is for Nathan Welch's book. Nathan Welch is in prison. You know what I mean? This is the kind of stuff that I'm looking at. So as a team, I'm happy to be on that squad. Jason Poole, I never knew your story, bro. I had heard the comedy clip. I didn't know your story. I'm glad you was on today. You got a new follower. Now, the Diva, let me just say this. Off the top, hands down, man, that woman's a miracle. She's a blessing. And she don't promote herself as much as I think she should. So let me just point out this. She has a roster of cats she's picked up in prison. She's got more people that she's picked up from prison than on the streets. Because she's not so much worried about what your popularity is. She's more worried about the quality of the book she's putting out. And it's kind of working against her because, let's be honest, social media today is what's moving books. And we got a lot of hot artists. Man, this Nathan Welch cat that we keep talking about, he's got a new one out right now that's off the chain. You know what I mean? It's like he's not getting the notoriety that his pen deserves. Of course, we are taking it our personal business to make that difference. We got, you know, like Dutch. Everybody knows Dutch, right? But we got, you know, myself. We got Daryl DeBrew. We got Heat in these, and we got real cats. See, people talk about street credibility. They talk about how, you know, if you live that life, you can tell that story. Well, who can tell that life better, you know, to us in this cage, man? Like Jason Poole, like Eon. Them dudes were fortunate enough to walk out the door at a time to make a difference. Some of us haven't had that chance. I've been on this 25 years. I've written over 20 books. I got heat. Can't nobody tell me my pen is solid. But at the same time, it takes a woman like DC Book Diva to give us that chance. And I want to highlight that.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I know the gang of listeners is waiting, so I'm going to salute and step back.
Thank you so much.
Yes, definitely appreciate you calling in.
Definitely, man.
You made some great points. Stay up, brother.
Absolutely.
Wow. We got another caller. Yo, the chocolate city is crazy. I'm about to go get a bucket of ice cream or chocolate.
It is a meltdown. 202-607.
Good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew. This is the Chocolate City Takeover. We have the DC Book Diva, Eon Williams, and Jason Poole. Who are we speaking with this evening?
You're speaking to Lakeisha. How are you?
How you doing, Lakeisha?
Hey, what's up, sis?
Hey, Lakeisha. Hey, how you doing?
That's introducing my assistant, Lakeisha.
Okay.
Welcome. You know what I do. All you do is lock me up. That's the person that's sending y'all on Prince of the City books right there, man. So y'all thank her, man. Assistant to Keisha Lowe. Assistant to Jason Poole.
Don't be putting my whole government out there. That ain't cool. right, I have one question for Eon and Jason. Being in prison for the stint that you guys were in, how did you keep your books relevant to what's going on outside instead of, you know, being though you're not there?
I mean, dudes like me and Jason, even when we locked away, we could be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles away in the mountains. We always got contact with the streets. Like the brother Wesley said, man, some dudes in the jungle be forgotten about. You know what I mean? When we go in, we fortunate enough and blessed enough to have a network of family and friends. It's real family and friends. They ain't only family and friends when you're doing good.
Mm-hmm. That sums it up right there.
And Jason, what are you working on next?
Oh man, I got so many. I got Larceny Part 2, but I'm gonna put Larceny 1 back out. I'm gonna revise the edition and put that out, right? And then I'm gonna put the fictional memoir out called "Products of Our Environment." Products of Our Environment, Memoirs of a Real Gangster. You know, that's a fictional memoir. Just stories and recollections of things that I went through. Then after that, we got Urban Gigolo. After Urban Gigolo, we got a joint called, again, this is probably one of my greatest works ever. I got a novel called A Gangster in Hollywood. I'm gonna give you a glimpse of what it's about. The first thing, he's about to, this person is about to commit a crime. Then the novel backdrop, 10 years later, he goes through a series of things and ends up in Hollywood. He gets the same scene, the same role. He gets a leading role in a big movie, and he has to act out that same scene.
Okay.
That's hot.
That's good.
That scene was a vicious murder.
Okay. All right.
It's called A Gangster in Hollywood. It's going to be a dude, he done went through so much stuff, and he ended up writing movies and ended up being in Hollywood. But it was something that he did to get to where he is. He had to end up doing that same thing. It's good, man. When I say it's one of my best works ever, it's good.
Okay.
I've been around and I traveled a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a lot of things, and I've seen a lot of things that most people like will look at and be like, man, that ain't happened. I mean, I've witnessed those things with my eyes. And,
okay.
I just want to tell these type of stories, you know what I'm saying, in the most realistic form.
Okay.
I got one last question.
Okay.
Jason, where are you going next on the Prince of the City tour?
Philly, Black and Noble Bookstore, come on out. Have
it down.
Damon, my co-author, Damon Amin Metal from Philadelphia, he just came home from serving. He gave a life sentence back, man. Amin served 20 years in prison, man, just like Eon, man. We all serve lengthy sentences in prison, man. So to be able to be out here and to be able to do book signings and things like that, man, we inspirational to one another, man. I look at Eon every day, man. This dude, every day I talk to him, he always talking about getting more money, doing more projects. This is the hardest working dude I've ever seen. As soon as I came home, he had so much stuff, man. He done got movies and all this stuff. And I'm just looking at him like, Eon wasn't bullshitting while I was in. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't bullshitting. Let me be funny. He wasn't bullshitting, man. You know what I'm saying? Something definitely, definitely, really, really big is about to fall right in this man's lap, man. And even though he see it or he don't see it, man, it's about to fall in this man's lap, man. You know, something really big because he's doing diligent work, man.
That's a blessing.
You know?
Appreciate that.
Thank you, Keisha, for calling in and highlighting that.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
That. Thank you, Princess.
Yes.
Thank you.
Please continue to listen to the show.
Yeah,
got another caller. Yeah,
oh, wow.
They're not playing around. It's serious. Stay in the room only.
Yes.
937-313. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew, and this is the Chocolate City Takeover. We have the DC Book Diva, Eon Williams, and Jason Poole. Who are we speaking with?
This is Stacey Johnson Leonard.
Oh, hey, Stacey, how are you?
Hey, Stacey.
I'm so good. I was sneaking out the meeting. I couldn't get out fast enough to talk to you. I done missed everything.
You ain't miss anything. You got in. They still here. It's still live.
I see. So, hey, Aaron Big Mo. Hey, Nene is there, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Nene's on deck.
Hey, Nene.
Hey,
what's good?
Hey, Jason Poole.
Hey, how you doing, babe?
And hi, Miss DC Book Diva. I haven't had the
pleasure of
adding you to my Facebook friend list, but I will tonight.
Please do.
Yes. I know y'all talking about good things. The one thing I want to ask Mr. Poole is, so I see you came from vacation, should I say, and I see you hitting the market real hard.
You
on Facebook. You doing all type of book signing.
That's right. I ain't letting up. We're going to show them how it's supposed to be done.
And we're going to have
fun. You know,
yes.
I sat around in this jail all day dreaming. This is what I was dreaming about. This is what I push hard. You know what I'm saying? I work hard to get out of that system and come out here and do. And I say, I'm going to do it.
That's right.
Well, you're doing the darn thing.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
I want to say
to y'all, to all you all authors, thank you all for, as me being an avid reader, thank you all for always, communicating, responding, and, staying on social media and responding to our questions, saying good morning to us. Just the little things is what really matter to us as readers.
Yes.
It makes us feel special. We don't just feel like, okay, we don't bought y'all books and y'all could give a hoot about it.
Right.
Yeah, that ain't how that go.
That's right.
So
that's
I want to say, as an avid reader, I really, really want to say thank y'all. And then as far as the show, I know what time it's on and the days that it's on. I got y'all number locked in my phone under contact.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Stacey.
So me, she is going to be, even if I can't call in and say nothing, I'm going to call in and it's going to be on mute. So when I walk out and I can't say something, I will.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Stacey.
I can't get off the line without saying my famous line. Y'all have a blessed, positive, and productive rest of the evening.
Thank you, you too. Stacey, you too. Stacey is an avid reader. She's definitely an avid reader. Who else? Do we have anybody else on the line, Aaron? Because the line is jumping. They on the line.
They ain't got their ones up, though.
I
have a question for DC Diva.
Okay.
While we're waiting on people to push the ones, I do want to say, people, they have that saying, don't talk about it, be about it. And she definitely is about it. She is a female hustler. She get out there and she do her thing. She get her books out there. She hits the pavement. She just don't sit on Facebook. I do want to say shout out to her for that. But I also want to ask you, why do you work with inmates?
Well, for one, the biggest reason is this. Maybe almost 10 years ago now, my brother was sentenced to a very lengthy sentence. He has 52 years. And with that being, and we're fighting every day. But with that being said, you know, being a bookstore owner, I was getting so many requests for people that wanted more information about publishing or ways to get into publishing. And I really believe that we have to give our people a second chance. There's a lot of talent, and there's a lot of people that should not be where they are. And I believe that if we don't believe in ourselves and if we don't help our own community, we can't just sit around and just wait for others to do it. So we have to give them some hope, and we have to figure out a way how we can help them with reentry. You know, I have quite a few that have come home from Benjamin Janey to, let's see, R.J. Champ, Terrence Frazier, and most of them have had no reentry. I am extremely hard on my authors. They probably get sick of me in their inboxes about, okay, we need to do this, we need to do that. Just being that motivating force just to try to keep our brothers on the right track. I don't have any sisters yet. I'd love to work with women, too. I do have Sherry Harrigan, and I have Pinky, but neither of those ladies are incarcerated. But the guys that are incarcerated, just, you know, giving them something to believe in. Sometimes, you know, we just need that hope. We need that that motivation and that inspiration. So first and foremost, you know, hopefully through my blessings of blessing them, you know, my Creator will bless me with my brother returning to me and my family.
That's yes, awesome. Indeed. And also to add to that, no disrespect to any authors that have not been incarcerated or, you know, but honestly, like, most of the authors that have any type of prison background or anything like that, like, you could see the focus and the intensity in their writing and it just be better. Like, like I said, no disrespect to anybody else that's writing that have never been involved in any type of incarceration. I'm not, you know, taking that away. But people that are that do write and are, you know, just being involved in things of intelligence behind the wall, really exploit that to the fullest. Like, I don't know if people think that because people are in prison. Like, the Michael, it's like 20, 30,000 Michael Jordans behind the prison wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. I definitely don't think that prison should be any hindrance towards anything that any man or woman can do. Like, they could publish. That's something that they're still able to do, and I don't think that, you know, their placement should have any real identity towards their work.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So what else is coming out of DC Book Diva Camp as well as Eon's Camp? We want to make sure that you're hollering those works out. Jason Poole just gave us his list of what's hot coming out of his camp. What else can we expect coming out of the DC area from you guys?
Okay, well, we have Drunken Love that just came out yesterday. Also by that author, just came out a month ago. It's Convict's Click. And in a couple of days, we have Above the Law by best-selling author Dutch, author of the Dutch series, Dynasty 1, 2, and 3, Q, and now Above the Law.
Wow.
Anyone looking
get
to
that
stay?
Right there.
Huh?
I'm telling people they got to get that right there.
Oh,
that's
of course.
A good author right there.
Now,
yeah,
if anybody wants to keep up with what we're doing, and get a free read this evening, all you have to do is log on to DutchConfidential.com, and that is www.DutchConfidential.com. That will definitely put you on our email list, and also you can download a free read.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Make sure y'all get the
hey, get that order.
You know what I mean? I'm always working on something. Right now we got a Never Lay Down. That's coming out on the Fast Lane. I'm working on that, trying to get that out. I don't have a date for that right now, but it'll be real soon. We're also working on this documentary for the Wayne Perry Project, so that's a big jump right there. That's going to be on the Fast Lane and T with our Cool Kids Forever film. So I'm saying we've been, Jason Poole going to be on that jump talking too, so, you know, man, we're going to collect all the authority. We're going to have that down coming out. So that's all I'm working on right now. Those two things got my attention.
Okay. That's what's
hey,
up.
Hey, Nene. Nene,
yes,
tell Eon hurry up.
Hurry up, Eon.
They
make a special trip down there.
I got to go with Eon.
I forgot. A preview to the Wayne Perry Jones in that new Don Diva, by the way. I wrote that article. You check that John out right there. Tell you about, man, the severe conditions of total isolation, you know what I mean, a solitary confinement upon the mind, you know what I mean, of certain people. But, however, you know what I mean, it'll show you, man, what the government really got for you when you don't break or you don't bend. But it show you the man, no matter what you do, if you walk it like that, you got to talk it like that. Some people do. So that's kind of like the basis of the story behind this Wayne Perry guy. You know what I mean? We ain't even just telling the story of a guy that was a killer. We're telling, you know, man, a story of a man, person that lived a certain way. Just like if we documented the man ups and downs of Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was a great boxer. We know that. But he had a life outside the ring. So even dudes that's in the street, they got a life outside the ring. They got a family outside the ring. You know what I mean? And we touching on all them bases in that drum.
Wow. Okay. I need to have a copy of that. That's on the newsstands now?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have ones down there? Can I get it from you?
Man, you know it. What is he talking about?
All right. I'm in the inbox. I need that.
I got a quick question for Eon. I want to ask about Lorton Legends.
Yeah.
When you because I think that was a excellent concept, number one. And I want to know, like, when you were saying people like didn't want to take a chance with the book or whatever. Like, do you feel like when you was constructing the book, do you feel like the content was, because it didn't really seem like that to me. Like, it didn't seem like a jail book. It didn't seem like a boxing story. It just seemed like a story being told in a place. Like, it could have been anything. Were you conscious of that when you were writing a book? Like, yo, I might have some problems trying to sell this.
Well, I'm not gonna really say that I was conscious of it. I mean, by the time I wrote that book, I already had one book out, but I was keeping up with who was doing it on a major level, and they wasn't selling stuff that was like that. So I did know that it was gonna be different. But that book really wasn't written from a perspective of fiction. Although it's fiction, I only put it out as fiction because I built somewhat of a platform by the time the book came out. But when I wrote the book, I was in a hell of a position. You know what I mean? I was in the U.S. Penitentiary, highest level John Lee County, Virginia at the time, other than a supermax. I'm talking about the regular max, the highest level max. So at the time, I was in jail. I was dealing with everything that I was writing about on the jail, but I was reading books like The Hot House. I was reading books like Blood in My Eyes, Soul of Dead Brothers. I was reading books about real situations of people going through some of these things. And I felt as though that if I had a platform to write fiction and I just turn all these thoughts into fiction but still school you at the same time, I could get away with it. So if nobody was going to publish it, which is the point I'm getting to, I was going to publish it myself because I believed in my mind I was going to get my time back. So I fought for 5 years to get 11 years back and got out. As a matter of fact, Jason Poole brought up the same issue about jurisdiction. The 2241, which he filed to get out that he busted with, I actually used the same case to get out. So it do show that, I mean, if you follow the footsteps, you follow the blueprint, you follow the things that's laid out for you, you're going to get what you got coming.
That's right.
That's my story behind Lord Nuggets. And being though you brought Lord Nuggets up real quick, I'm going to make a point. I don't even really put a lot of people in my business. But Lord Nuggets, for an example, right, is dedicated to my father, Larry Williams. And my father, he's on his deathbed right now. He, you know what I mean? Whatever his time is, it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be any day. But now, the book holds a place in my writing career, in my books that I put out, in the project that I may put out for the next however many years I live, is the only book I dedicated to my father. So now the book has a whole other meaning, a whole other value to, you know what I mean? Like Jason said, how he breathed another life into a book. So I said, this book right here is under on a whole other print, you know what I mean? We're doing something different with it. And now the book actually, man, you know what I mean, has a spiritual value to me. So, you know, I put everything, all the characteristics of a man and what men go through to become their own man is in the book, and the book is dedicated to my father.
Wow.
It's a hot joint, man. People
awesome.
Need to definitely get that.
Absolutely. And our prayers are definitely with your family.
Yes.
As well as with your dad.
I appreciate that. It's all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we thank y'all so much. This has been a powerful, powerful show and interview. Each one of you gave us a different piece of yourself, a different piece of the industry, a different piece of your spirit and your character. And I applaud that. And I definitely hear the strength in your voice and development and what we can look forward to coming out of your camp. I feel a whole different spirit. I don't know if Jason was that extra little piece that came into that DMV puzzle, but I could definitely feel the power coming from down there. And I know how it feels when you have like minds and like spirits that come together. And I can see that the team, DMV, is definitely becoming a more powerful force. And we look forward to everything that's coming out of your camp. We're here if you need us. Hit us anytime. Any new projects, any new authors that you want to highlight, let us know so we can get them on the show. We can let them continuously know that the Chocolate City is definitely a takeover, has always been a force for great creation, and we're happy that we have you guys coming out of that area giving us greatness, and we appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
And thank
y'all
for sharing y'all's time.
Hey, tomorrow we have on Straight Chaser, we're going to have Nene Capri interview with Sherry Harrigan, so I definitely want people to log on to straightchaser.com. And I also want to shout out one person if I can, and that is my 17-year-old young adult author, Randall Barnes. He is contributing to straightchaser.com,
okay.
And he has a forthcoming title coming out in the next couple of months called The Diary of Aaliyah Anderson. So definitely be on the lookout for that.
Yes, and make sure you have us any links, because we have a lot of readers who are looking for things for their young adult readers, and they always hit me in the inbox. So please make sure you share those links with us so that we can also share that information with our readers.
Yeah, and the children's book too, which, by the way, I wanted to say earlier, that was genius. Like, the children's book is killing the market right now.
Yeah, that should be out maybe next Tuesday. We'll have that. That's Jessica Sets the Table.
Okay.
Okay, that's
what's
up.
Thank you, Eon. Thank you, Jason.
I'll see
Jason on Sunday.
Shout out to my 6-year-old son, Elijah Poole, for being one of the smartest kids I know.
Okay.
That's a blessing. He followed behind that.
That's right.
That's what's up. Thank y'all so much. We appreciate
you.
Continued success.
Yeah, but we go out with a Puffy Barrage.
Yes, drop that beat.
The Puffy Barrage.
Wait a minute before you drop the beat. We want to make sure you guys check us out tomorrow night. We will have Hacky Tate in the clubhouse with us. And this is definitely going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome show. So make sure you check in with us tomorrow.
Bloods. Yes, he was ahead of the Bloods. He's going to sit down with us and talk about all these different things that he's trying to do in his community after spending years and years in the community being the head of one of the most powerful gangs out there in Cali. So it's going down in the clubhouse tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But until then, just remain happy.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sometimes she's here, you can take a break. Say you don't waste your time. Here's why.